You're tuned in to the Vintage House Show, home to the original stories of the history of house music as told by the legends, pioneers, and icons. Hosted by Kevin Mega McFall, Lori Branch, and Lauren Lowry.
What I was saying was, you know, this is Women's History Month, and we need to get our act together in the house music community to ensure that we give our flowers to the pioneering women of the genre. And the Vintage House Show being the premier show dedicated to the preservation and illumination of the lives of pioneering figures like yourself in the genre of house music, contributing to the culture, and most importantly, contributing to the creativity that is keeping this genre alive and sustainable. So thank you for joining us here on the Vintage House Show.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. You know, it's such an honor. Every time I talk to you, I'm so grateful. It's lovely to be here.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to give props to, I think it was Disco Tony Shelton, a friend of the Vintage House Show and a pioneering figure in promoting house music parties, that just, she basically twisted my arm to say, hey, you got to meet this Paris. She's going to be in town and, you know, she's doing great and amazing things in the UK. And I said, okay, you know, if you're insistent, Tony, I will take your advice. And then I had the pleasure and honor of literally almost bumping into you at the Chosen Few picnic. And ever since then, mad respect and appreciation.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Thank you. We love Tony. We miss her. Can't wait to see her again.
Indeed. It's been a little while since I last seen or spoke to her, but I'll be sure to make sure she tunes in to this episode of the Vintage House. And so you're nine-ish or so PM in the evening there in the UK?
Yeah, we are 19 minutes past nine exactly.
Well, we are appreciative that you stayed up late for us, or maybe this is early. They've got plenty of Red Bull for you in the studio out there.
That's my extreme, can I tell you. I am not a Red Buller. I have literally just been juice and water, so I'm feeling it. But hey, you know, the music keeps us alive and awake, so it's great.
That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. Music has its magical effects, particularly house music, on all of us, which is why we love the genre so much. I introduced you, and again, hoping that that was all captured, but I introduced you as a DJ, producer, remixer. It also just so happens that you're a woman, and this is Women's History Month. Can you talk a little bit about Women's History Month as a broad topic, and whether that's recognized and celebrated in the UK, or is this just something we're doing here stateside?
Obviously, we had International Women's Day, but Women's History Month is not something I'm aware of we're celebrating too drastically. So I do believe it's just stateside, but we do have constant efforts for more inclusion for women over here. And yes, I'm blessed to certainly be, you know, someone who is considered in a lot of the inclusion pockets. It's so important for us to be celebrating this, because I think, you know, let alone women having a hard time generally in life, just, you know, fighting for equality, but also it's understanding, I think we're in a time now where we're learning that the equality we fought for is a lot of strain on us physically. And I think that now it's about a season of finding how we can thrive in comfort, warmth, and sensitivity. You know, it's a very harsh world at the moment. So I think it's really important now we're learning how to be celebrated, have the equality we're chasing for, but also be allowed to be the women we naturally want to be. So I think that's definitely where there's more work to be applied for sure.
That's absolutely a powerful perspective, and one I certainly agree with. The opportunity to, cut through some of the harshness of the world and the power of inclusivity can only make the world a better place. But when, you have these perspectives of people keeping others out, whether it's based on gender or race and ethnicity or whatever the case, it's not good for the world. And so when you do bring it all together, it just makes for a generally better world. And I'm glad that it's something you recognize. And I'm sure that the work you do creatively in this genre of house music is going a long way in helping to change things. So tell me this, what did you do then on International Women's Day?
International Women's Day, I was blessed to be flooded with articles to respond to. I had 3 or 4 playlists to pick for International Women's Day, 3 or 4 of them. And also I recently spoke at Beatport.com headquarters as for British Black History Month. So that was really cool to be able to represent our sisters in music. So it was me, Toya DeLazy, who's a very well-known African female artist and producer, and Nick Nax, and so many others that we were able to come together and celebrate us as Black women in dance music too.
I love that. And again, the opportunity, anytime the opportunity is taken, to celebrate all that women contribute is one that is an important moment. And I will be looking and doing some research to see if I can find any of that session online so that I can check it out.
Yeah, definitely. It's on our Beatport.com's community pages, and they actually left the full transcript from the talk up. So, yeah, excellent. You can definitely even listen back. Actually, it was recorded as well, so it's definitely there.
Very cool. We'll be sure to post that on the Vintage House Show socials as well. And I left out in my introduction that you also are a radio show host. Can you tell us a little bit about where people can listen to you and tune in?
Absolutely. So I've been on radio as long as I've been making music. It was actually one of the very first things I did alongside going into music professionally. And so I'm very lucky to be part of the very brand new Cool Kids on the station that is known as the Boat Pod. So it is a London riverboat that's been turned into a broadcast network. And I've found over the years working in radio, so I've worked for some amazing British and international stations, even smoothjazz.com. And like smoothjazz.com, I was able to blend two genres together because I don't just play house music. I play jazz, I play neo, so all the things that are house music has in it. But I found myself in stations in between having to just play house or just play jazz. And so with being on the Boat Pod, I'm allowed to play what I want. So I have a show called Luxury Listening, first Thursday of every month, where the first hour is filled with smooth jazz, R&B, neo soul, anything in between. And then the second hour is me in the mix, giving you a fantastic house hour. So I generally believe you can't have the first hour without the second and vice versa. So I get to do that every first Thursday of the month on the boatpod.com.
That is dope. And I will encourage everyone who tunes into the Vintage House Show to also check out your show. I'm imagining because let me ask this way. Yeah. Is there still such a thing as pirate radio? Is that what they call it?
I come from pirate radio, funny enough. Oh, yes. Okay. So,
that's not what this is anymore, right?
No, definitely not. You eventually get, pirate radio is part of British culture, and I think a lot of people aren't so proud to talk about it. But if you are a, you know, I know you definitely have something similar, but before you're allowed to kind of earn your stripes to be a formal radio host, you jump on the airwaves, and we were mixing, we were talking, and I was 15 years old when I started on pirate radio. So, of course, that's a long time ago now. Now, radio is visual, you know, so all my radio shows are on YouTube. It's a visual process, not just an audio process, but we very still much have it, and it's a big culture, and I don't think it will ever leave British culture.
Well, I appreciate that clarification around it. And again, these are the gems that we love to hear about and understand, because there were so many things that laid the foundation for the things we do and love. And so it's important to reflect on those things and never forget where we came from, right?
Absolutely. You know, the hopping on telephone lines and, you know, queuing it into our systems to be able to play the latest records and, you know, everybody text this number and we'll talk to you. It was crazy. And it was like, and my underground DJ name is DJ Passionel, if you wanted to know.
Oh, so, we got an exclusive here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We got the handle. DJ Passionel.
Yeah, radio, learned to mix, and yeah, it was embarrassing, but it exists. It was a thing.
It was a point of origin, so that we can appreciate. No embarrassment at all. So that's a little bit about your journey into the world of broadcast radio, but mm-hmm. can you talk about your journey into house music? What really drew you into this particular genre?
Yeah, so my father collected dance music. And so I've always had an appreciation for the club vibes, but I grew up in the British countryside, so I didn't have the access to the nightclubs that they would have in the city. And also, I was so young. I've always been a music nerd. You know, I went to school, just normal public school, but straight from little, I was always studying music. So I'm a little bit of an introvert. I'm not really a party goer. I'm not actually the most social person either. So most of the time I'd have headphones on. But then, of course, I have to graduate high school. And the first job I got was at the agent of Louis Vega, Dennis Ferrer, and everybody under the sun, DJ Sneak. So that is how you learn about house music. Get a job in the helm of it. Their British representative, MN2S, Milk and Two Sugars, I was their intern. And downstairs they had recording studios, and you can imagine what happened next.
That's an interesting journey. And I love it because it also casts you in a particular era, right? When things were in a state of, you know, we were well past what many of us have defined as sort of the starting point, which was early 80s in Chicago, in basements. But what was important about where house is today versus where it started is that adoption by so many people geographically. You know, there was certainly club music happening in New York, and the New York vibe sort of intermeshed and intermingled with what was happening in Chicago and Detroit. Yeah. And it took off. It's been an amazing phenomenon to see it grow. And I love that your story is a part of where sort of that explosion mm-hmm. of the genre mm-hmm. took place.
It definitely molded my ear.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just saying it molded my ear, you know, being 18, 17 years old, working for an agency like that. And already DJing, but not understanding really what the mix culture is. I'll never forget, I was DJing in Spain, and JJ from Shifted Music, you know, the music producer, he goes, "Who the hell is that DJing? You sound like they're from Detroit or Chicago." And of course, it was little me. And because it molded my ears so much, so I definitely have a swing that probably wouldn't be identified as a British DJ. So that is exactly what you're saying. It molded the way I play.
And we're going to coin that expression here, certainly, if it's not already coined, but the molding of the ear is, it's a Paris Savette-ism, we're going to call it. So thank you for that. And I'm glad that it had that effect on you. And clearly, I think that's another reason why sort of the Chicago faction of house has embraced you so well, right? Is because, you know, we hear it when we hear you mix. But as an international DJ, what are some of the key challenges you face when performing, you know, stateside or even across Europe?
Do you know what? I'd actually say my biggest challenges are at home. Because of that ear, it's had my love and appreciation in such a bigger circle than on my home ground. I guess, you know, I talk to my friends over there in Chicago, and it's almost like sometimes some of them feel the same. You know, it's like at home they don't understand the bigger ear that comes with, you know, having the Chi-Town swing, or, you know, there's that jack, you know, that we don't have here in London. That I really adored Flapjack Records very early on. And that built such a sound in me that I never listened to house music the same way again, because it was in such a formative time for myself. I think I was 19, 20, and all the work that record label was doing, because for me, being a jazz head as well, they were taking up jazz records and chopping them up into house music. And I could so clearly establish, and of course, loving the Frankie Knuckles, you know, that full wide spectrum of what comes from Chicago and his house music. Playing at home when we have a very clear London Soulful House sound. So here's me trying to play along my peers here, and they're like, "What song is that?" And I'm like playing, you know, I think it's Brian Chambers or you know, Don Swing, all these completely different vibes and sounds that were coming out of the Flapjack camp, or even to go as far as, of course, the Terry's, the Mike, Gershon Jackson, all these different sounds I'm playing that has nothing to do with British house, where, of course, we have the West London housing, which actually I was also taught by as a producer. So we have our Phil Ashers, you know, rest in peace. We had so much coming out from London, which was the West London housing. So there was a big kind of arm towards that, because when they're all playing that, they've all come from West London, so a lot of that community in London here do come from that part of town. I come from the countryside, but I connected to Chicago. So that's a challenge. It's actually
sort of a British Chicago triangle thing going on
there. Yes, absolutely, and definitely more of the triangle being in Chicago, even though I'm born and bred here.
Well, I'm glad you described that in that way, because I think if you listen to some of the shows of some of the Chicago DJs, they'll talk about how well they're embraced when they come to London, right? And that here in Chicago, when they perform, it's harder for them to at least introduce and educate their audiences around new music, because everyone here in Chicago is so used to, we've coined the phrase the top 40 of house music, right? And so people like to hear what is nostalgic and familiar to them, although the education of the Chicago audience has certainly advance, but not without a fight, right? People want to hear what they want, you know, to hear that is familiar to them and the sounds connected. So I'm sure there's some synergy between what you face there and what the Chicago DJs have faced. But
I think it would be, if I was to be in Chicago and played London House, how it would be received to when the Chicago's come to London and play Chicago vibes and house. You know, it's completely just, you know, right sound, wrong body.
It's, there's such a psychology, and I'm not a psychology major, but there's definitely some theory, I would say psychology theory around these regional differences. Maybe it's even sociological and not psychological. Mm. But
whichever one, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit of both. But the good news is that this genre is so beloved because it we talk about it very often as being a feeling. So if you can feel the music, no matter where its leanings are, right? It's the groove is in the heart. Actually, absolutely. That's the song. That's where are my people delight when I need them.
Yeah,
groove in the heart. Yeah. Love that group as well. And so want the audience to learn a little bit more about you. You you know, talked about your radio career. You talked a little bit about how you select and when you DJ and perform as a DJ. Talk about the production work that you've done or are doing and the musicianship. What instruments do you play and what are some of the projects we can hear you involved with?
Sure. So I played music and studied instruments from the age of four. So my kind of leading instrument now would be the piano. But my skill is more in the band arrangement harmonics position.
Okay.
So
tell us about
it. It's kind of a role in itself in its musical body. So if I was to be a session musician, you just go in, you play chords and you play solos, and that's great. But from a production standpoint, I can hear and program the horns, the guitars, and it's more of a bandstand in my production style particularly. So that's the position I have myself in, and also tuning vocals, tuning instrument parts. So if there's an R&B record that has a lovely vocal and they don't really have the time to take the vocal back in again, or it's a couple of notes off, I go in and actually manipulate the vocal back in key. So it's all in tune again. So my real skill sets are kind of more in the techniques of like the kind of technicalities behind harmonics and things like that. So that's my production style also. It's all very musical. So I'm a big jazz baby. And so I'm really into like adult alternative, contemporary, jazz, soul, rare groove, jazz funk. That's completely everything I live for. The George Dukes, Paul Harcastle, Whippingtons, Dave Grusin, GRP Records, all these kind of things. So growing up and studying that music, it had me in a position to really build very musical house music. And it's constantly evolving, I think. All the projects you find me on, I had my first album in 2018, Celestial. But you'll find probably about 80 records before that came out, a combination of remixes from working with Gen Underground, releases with Terry Hunter's Tease Box. I've always been associated with Chicago and music forever, Abica Soul and the Afro kind of sound. So whether I'm doing keyboards or actually producing or remixing it, I've always had something there. But my journey as a producer has now been trying to learn how to take my musical production style away from the opening and closing a set. So I'm always chasing to make the hardest, most driven musical house I can.
That's
like Frankie would do. You know, that's what Frankie mastered. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're clearly a student of a lot of different musical influences, and it makes for what should be a career with some great long. You did one of your breakthroughs. You had a discography of about 80 releases that you touched. Was that accurate? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it proves my point that I was making about the opportunity for you to have a long career in this genre. So I'm curious, what do you envision being that thing which would be the crown jewel for Paris? What project, what kind of impact do you believe you could have in house music or in music in general?
It's really interesting you say that. So one thing about me is I'm a very deep thinker. As I said, I'm a little bit of an introvert. You know, I have when I was younger, I had a very loud personality, but as I've got older, you go through phases, I think, as we grow. And with that, I've learned a lot of gratitude to be able to be who I am and do what I do, because the industry is, I think I mentioned it before, it's very harsh and it's very loud. And at one point I would have told you, I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have that. And now I'm in a position where I think everything's attainable, but when, we don't know. So I generally have every intention to hopefully win an electronic Grammy at some point. I would love to be an EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. That's my plan.
That's what's up, yeah.
So that's the mission. I think it's all attainable. I don't know when, but being a classically trained musician also, my second album, As Above, So Below, I have a classical record on there. I'm releasing a record on Diplo's Higher Ground this year. So I'm now going to be releasing under Paris After Dark as well as Paris of It, to be able to start pushing into the more cinematic film scoring space, so I can start to build commerciality. My mission is to really Trojan horse in Soulful House. So if I can get some major releases within the tech and commercial space, the wish is that people go ahead and find the Soulful House work. So all that to say, my goals are always growing, always pending, but I think, you know what they say, a goal without a plan is a dream, but a dream without a, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just a plan to get to that position. So I'm working on it every day. So every day we're one step closer.
You may be one of the first guests of our show with that aspiration of going for the EGOT. And I particularly like how you framed your strategy as one that is you're going to Trojan horse your way into that level using Soulful House as a platform. So I love that strategy, and of course we're thrilled that you are spending time with us at Vintage House and sharing that. Of course, don't forget about us, you know, media journalists, when you are doing that EGOT acceptance speech for either the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, or the Tony. Remember us for each one.
The thing is, for me, I think it's actually the other way around. Like, you know, the Trojan horse is going to be tech and commercial music, and I want to keep Soulful House in the middle, because I feel like, you know, people have been so mean to Soulful House over the years, you know, whether it's how it's delivered, who they've accepted it from. You know, there's many people who have done very well with the Soulful House sound, but it's not done anything for the family or the community of Soulful House. So someone would have found a sound and they've sampled it and off they've gone. And what has that done for the community in a sense? And I think that's what I really hope to do, is to be a beacon. You know, it's like, I don't want to make it and then leave the village burning. You know, it's like, I see so many producers coming through, and you know, no one owes anybody anything. May I just add, like, it's not that anyone has to, but I've seen so many producers, you know, disappear, pass away, and I just think, gosh, you know, some of this music is so beautiful. And I've been on a mission this year to work out why it remains unloved, unclarified, and uncalculated. And because I feel like we do deserve more for our music. You know, there is, I'm in an amazing position to see the bigger part of the industry, whether that's part of the R&B community or the tech community, whatever it may be, classical. And I see how much Soulful House doesn't get. So I'm kind of on, I've been speaking with people at Spotify. I was at a Brit Award party the other day, which is like the British American Music Awards.
Yes.
And we had a particular party just for songwriters and music producers. And I was able to really talk to a lot of people who have some major weight, you know, and it's asking the question, why not Soulful House? Like, why is it not deserving major playlisting in Spotify? You know, yes, of course it does, you know, if everyone wants to say we're underground forever and it's damaging the culture, but I'm 34. I don't see hundreds of 34-year-olds in our community, and that for me I find is a problem. And yeah, because it's a sound that deserves to go on forever. And so while I'm here to respect those that are so warming to me and have shown me the way, the least I can do is use my 20-year kind of God willing bonus to try and enhance the business around our music. And so that's why I say Trojan Horse. It's to more, if I can find the answer to what we're missing, to mean that the people after me who find passion in this sound, who genuinely love our beat ports and our track sources, and we come together and they go to the chosen few, and they, and you know, there's an actual lineage of kind of a timeless sound that it actually deserves, because that's what it is. It's timeless music.
It
you
is.
Can listen to
it's evergreen. Something
evergreen, you know, made so long ago, and it doesn't sound old today. And so why is it not, you know, we don't have our producers on the all music playlist. You know, there's so many parts of the music business that, you know, and Terry said it himself when he was at the Grammys. He said, we have so much work to do, that when he was in that room, there were so many people we don't know. And that's what I see, not being in that room, but being in different parts of the industry, that there's still so much unknown and untapped. But then again, so much music comes out. Is it possible? But we have a saying now, Delulu is the Salulu. So if you're delusional enough, you will find the solution.
Yeah, no, that's real. And it definitely resonates with me. I guess I do often enough talk about it on the show, but besides being a DJ myself, one of the things I recognized as the genre was evolving is that the people who were creating were not known, right? The names, yes. the tracks, the releases were sort of faceless. And so I stepped in the gap and became the genre's first publicist that was dedicated to making sure the media mags all recognized and wrote about the people that were creating. And so I was pitching everyone from, you know, Billboard and Street Sound and Mix Mag and DMC and all of these media outlets that were claiming to cover the genre, but we're missing this whole segment of people who were creating amazing classics, right? And so that's how sort of I came into my own, if you will, within the genre, and still doing a little bit of that, and representing like the Chosen Few Picnic as an event platform, and ensuring that gets the kind of coverage, 45,000 people coming together to listen to, this music and to celebrate it in such a peaceful, unifying, beautiful way, right? It's newsworthy, particularly as you said at the beginning of our conversation about how harsh the world is. Well, let's replace some of that harshness with the beauty that exists, particularly as it relates around this genre.
And this is it. And I definitely think I'm making waves. You know, Beatport made me one of their Beatport 20 artists, their Beatport XX artists. Now, mind you, Beatport doesn't have a Soulful House category. So for them to line me next to Armin van Buuren, you know, on a stream, you know, and I'm looking like, you know, all the other artists, they had management, everything. Of course, I've got none of that. But they go, we adore your authenticity. And they said that, you know, my set particularly gave the party a different sound. They said it was warm, it was friendly. And it was like, wow, you know, I got to play our brother Mike Dunn on there. I got to play Tracy Hamlin, DJ Spin, you know, everyone. Louis.
The soul.
At Beatport 20, Beatport's 20-year birthday party. And, you know, they're releasing a mini documentary on myself when my album comes out. And I believe that is part of the work that needs to be done. It just needed, I feel, someone to, you know, I feel like a lot of our creators, particularly of, you know, over in this side of, because I can't talk, you know, for what happens in other places, but in England, a lot of our creators, they make their music. I'm not knocking them for this either, but they make their music. It goes on TrackSource another day, and it becomes a process. And after releasing my first album, it was number one for 5 weeks.
Yes.
On TrackSource.
Kudos.
And I realized, thank you, but nothing happened afterwards.
Yeah.
There was no show. There was no bookings. Now, mind you, you know, you can be in the wrong company, but it was more realizing, like, if that was any other genre, is that kind of what would happen?
It's head scratching, right? It's baffling. Yeah.
So I made it kind of my mission, and poor Spen, bless him, he's been working with me in kind of almost holding the fire down a little bit, because I'm like, right, I'm gonna, and he's had to deal with me for the last month, and Mike and Gershon, these gentlemen have had this little firecracker going, right, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and they're like, be careful and let us know how you get on. Because it's just me going out and trying to work out how, and you know, I say these words to Spen and Gershon all the time, like, when I have released this album, I'm not gonna have it happen to me, what happened to the first one? Again, no one's gonna go through that. But it's just understanding that we can't just keep releasing Soulful House. Yay, it's going great on TrackSource. Where's been the PR campaign? Where is it?
I'm glad you said it.
You know, we need to ask for more.
I think it's time we get back to what, you know, I've always framed it as the business of house, because, you know, it's beautiful that we invest so much energy in the creation, right? And the passion that is poured into what is created. It's all important, but, you know, we see others that actually sustain their lives through this music and creation process. And there is that missing piece for many of us. And I was going to ask you about collaborators, and I didn't realize Gershon Jackson was one of the collaborators. He and I all go... Yeah, we go way back as well. I got to get him back on the show. He's only been on once, so I can get caught up on what he's doing. But of course, I know that right now you're working with Mike Dunn. Is that
something
you can talk about a little bit?
For sure, for sure. So he's over in London building more amazing songs for his discography. So he just kind of got me as his London eyes and ears. So when he's not here, because of course everybody has a different production style, and I'm so blessed to kind of be kind of already, he loves the skill set I have, but kind of refining what I have so I can be his basically person on the ground when it comes to everything he handles and perfected.
Got it. And good. I mean, again, one of the greats of the genre. He's been at it for a while, and like you said, it continues to create. But we definitely need to elevate and next level what happens with some of these creations. And you shared, as in essence, one of the other questions I wanted to ask you about: what inspires you to keep going and to push? And you shared, you know, that there is work to be done, and this elevation of the craft into both creativity and business has to take place. And we should talk more about that after the show, as a matter of fact, too.
Definitely, because that's really been, you know, I stopped music for a little while. Many will see a 3-year gap in my discography, which breaks my heart to this day, but it had to happen because it was going to change my character and change the music, and we couldn't have had that. But in the kind of pitfall from the first album, I realized that it's not the music, it's the business, and we can never master the business. The business moves so fast. You know, 6 months ago, everyone was saying TikTok's the way. We're now looking at TikTok being taken down by America.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not gonna be the way. Everything was samples a year ago. Now everyone's asking you to write songs. And it's like, okay, there is no one way. So it just means that now I find myself I'm putting myself in the position to ask the big people the big question of, well, why not this music, by the way? Because if it's old, isn't just a song that sounds like Marvin Gaye in Marvin Gaye's prime gone viral? What I call you, Rose? Yeah, that song, that's everywhere. So I don't want to hear that you're not going to support it because it's old. Good music is good music. And that's the bit that I'm really now kind of, that's what inspires me. Like, I, as a mother, I want to ensure that if my child wanted to make music, they never go through what I've had to go through. And that's whether it's working with other people, working as yourself. You know, I've done nothing but put in hard work. And it's not very inspiring, particularly being one of the few women who has really, you know, pushed myself in that. And I feel very lucky to have people like Gershon, Mike, and Spen to really sit behind me and it almost like hold me up, because it's hard. And I, you know, the amount of times I've been like, I can't. And and of course, we, you know, we affectionately call him GJ. He'll be like, no, you know, with his big booming voice, no. He'll be like, come on, you know what to do, you know, and he'll help me have that little bite, that little fight. And of course, Mike literally has his hands on the ground here in London. So that's why he physically was like, you here now with me for a week, you know, and that's been everything. It's been so inspiring for me. And of course, Ben's very much like, if you've got the music to make, let me know who it is. Let's make it happen, you know. So of course, I'm reaching out to the artists, and Ben's ensuring that the business is tied up with the artists that I'm working with. And it's just, It's a wonderful storm between the three.
It does sound like a perfect storm. I'm going to call it out, though. It sounds like a perfect storm of men allies, male allies. Talk to me about the other women in the genre that you've had an opportunity to collaborate with or aspire to collaborate with them. And who are some of your idols that are women in the genre?
So, funny enough, I recently just answered this in an article, because it's actually about seven women in Chicago who are my closest sisters. So, of course, I met Laurie in person last year, and what a beautiful, warming soul, you know, to to talk with her and her journey, you know, seeing her opening the picnic last year was just so inspirational, and her spirit and energy is something that I don't feel often as a woman in the business, you know. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, and I'll say it, and of course I'll probably get told off this, but a lot of the time from women to women, it can be a little hostile, because it's just hard out here, and I get it, but
it's a reality.
It can be a little, you know, spiky.
I got a good picture of the three of us, I think, from the picnic. I got to make sure I share that with you. But it embodies, I think, the spirit that you're describing, of the positive spirit, just, right?
It was so positive. And, of course, there was, let me quickly get the article, because I don't want to miss a name, because these ladies are so... just beautiful spirits, and I, you know, really feel like, bear with me, let me just, because
so I probably distracted you from thinking of that list, but as you also look for those names, I'm gonna ask you about your projects that are imminent and where our audience can check you out. So I want you to drop your socials and your URLs and the Beatport profile as well when you think about some of those women.
Hold on, here we go. I think I've got it here because I'm trying to remember them out. Here we go. So, of course, we've got Ms. Nikki Devine.
Nikki Devine.
Celeste
Alexander.
Foxy.
DJ Fox.
Yeah, and DJ First Lady, like in Chicago.
Chris, yes.
They are my girls, like just forever over the years. You know, when I was 19, Brett was a big supporter of my edits and introduced me to Terry. That's how I got to know Terry. And of course, I met Miss Nikki. So it was just like, from then, so I was 19 years old, we've all been looped, you know. I'm 34. How many years is that? It's like,
well, we'll do the math. I'll let you do the math, rather. I won't do that math.
And then of course you've got Mickey Affleck in Chicago. So she is to the point, she's Carell, my son, you know, Carell's godmother. She's like, where's my baby? You know, I've known her for so many years. And then, of course, we've got Regina Washington in Chicago as well. These are women that it's not even particularly, obviously, with Mickey, we've DJed together, we've collaborated. Yes. That is a very strong production connection, as well as, you know, sisterhood. But all my girls in Chicago, it's just sisterhood, like, you know, tagging each other on Facebook, chatting away. Most of it's been online over the years until, of course, I came to Chicago a few years ago. And, you know, got to really vibe with them all in Terry's basement and then in different clubs around the show. And, you know, it was great. It was great. So, but then, of course, I work with other.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, then I work with other women as well. So I've got a friend, Sasha Gigi. She's an amazing London female producer who loves my technicalities, my skill in the technical side of production. So she has lots of ideas, and she was like, Paris, has come together and make something really technical, which I can do. So that was really cool. And of course there's lots of British DJs as well, but it's great.
Well, we know that at least those who listen to this conversation should know how easy it is to get to know Paris Savette. And I'm sure there are those who are learning or interested in learning more about you, are curious about what advice you would give, whether it's to women or anyone interested in pursuing the genre and becoming a creator. What advice would you leave with them?
Do you know what? I'll give this in multiple factors, I think. So my advice to women is trust in yourself, and, you know what, support other women. I think one thing I love being in a position as a producer is able to support so much female talent. Oh, let me shout out Tracy Hammond on that note too. And Hannah Camo, you know, the female singers I work with, there's so many as well, so I know I'm missing some, but particularly Tracy. Supporting other women, she's your sister, it doesn't matter, it's hard for her too, and I really focus on that. Like, a lot of the time, if I do receive hostility from a lot of women, I actually show more compassion than not, because I know what they've been through. You know, I've been there. You know, you imagine you're there to work and someone's presuming that you're there to chat up their husband. It's like, no, I'm actually here to work.
Yes.
And your husband is my colleague.
Yes.
And so with that, I'd say it's so hard for women in this business, and be gentle with yourself. Know and upskill yourself as hard as you can, and that's one thing I've really prided myself in, is upskilling constantly, all the time, being the best at what I do. So when someone says no, there wasn't a lot of, you know, there was a very valid reason why no, because I will guarantee my skill was nothing to do with it, you know. So I think all women need to do their best. I know we can be stuck with finances, resources, or whatever, but the good thing is with music production, it's free to learn. DJing, it's free to learn. Now YouTube is such a tool to be able to get at least the core of doing what you do. So if you want to do something, just upskill yourself and don't listen to people. You know, women are given, you know, Prince said it best. He said, women hear differently. That's why Prince's band often was female. And trust in that. And I think that's something that all women must do, is just believe in yourself, trust your sister. Even if she shows you a reason not to trust, just trust her anyway. Just, I'm a girl's girl. I have two sisters, so I'm always going to big up a sis anyway. But and then for men too, just again, same thing. Just, this industry is so mean, and I definitely think consistency is everything, skill is everything. I'll always push education. I'm a big belief in education of skill. You know, I personally am a producer that can produce on every production software, because I don't want to not be able to do what I do. I don't want an excuse to go, oh well, this is not the one I use, so I can't make music. No, cool, I can sit in any studio and produce music, because I don't want to be held back by me. I don't want to be in my own way.
Yeah.
So I think upskill, and also I think believing in yourself. I think discography is everything, and with discography comes practice. So I think hone your craft all day, every day, and believe in yourself. And also, I think in this day and age, looking to being independent, also open yourself to labels too. Try and do both. Try and have a place for, because I think you can be excited for records that do get rejected. And then it allows, because you have your people. I was told, sorry, it's been a long day, but I was told that my first album, it was too soft. People wouldn't like it. I put my foot down. I said, you're going to release it. And that's what I said. They were like, oh, let's go through it. No, there's your album. And I just said it like that. Now, did they think it was going to spend 5 weeks at number one? No, they did not. And that is the important bit for knowing your people and knowing the people that support you. But what it also shows is that many labels are going to do that. And some will know what they're talking about. Some don't.
They want to see you believe in your product.
Yeah. So on
some sides, others are skeptical. Right.
And this is it. And I think just always have like your own record label to be able to have as, okay, well, I aimed it to be this one, I aim it to be that. And if them record labels don't take it, still put it out. Don't make desktop music. Get it out, because music happens so fast. And so when things like the Music Producers Guild that I'm part of, the Grammy board, all these things, they look for official releases. And don't leave your music on your desktop. If you want to be a music producer, get your music out. If you want to be a DJ, get your mixes out, get yourself on radio, put up its Twitch channel, YouTube channel. Now everybody is going to want something, you know, so you can't be it without giving the product. So that's my only advice. Just do it.
That's huge.
I love everybody.
We just got a master class from DJ Paris Savette, spending an hour with us here on the Vintage House Show, helping us close out Women's History Month. Clearly a historical figure in this genre. We are so appreciative of all those jewels that you shared about your journey, as well as the advice to others. We wish you continued success and hope to be, like I said, an important part of that success, Paris. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here, and I look forward to seeing you in the summer.
Summer 2024. Look out. She'll be stateside here with us in Chicago and around the country. So we're looking forward to that for sure. In the meantime, we'll definitely stay connected as you continue to create with excellence.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Kevin.
And so we're here every Wednesday on air on WNUR 89.3 FM Street Beat. Of course, you can catch our podcast everywhere you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to check us out on twitch.tv, The Vintage House Show, as well as YouTube, The Vintage House Show. It's been a real one with Savette, Paris Savette, with us, and we're signing off for now, and we'll talk to you all soon. Remember, house is a feeling. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage House Show podcast. Please subscribe and share, and check us out live, WNUR 89.3 FM, Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.